connecting to the AOC Podcast Network. Enjoy your stay.
This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people, places, and culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We focus on the warm joie de vivre, or joy of living, and the cultural traditions passed down generation after generation, as well as the creative spirit of Lafayette. We enjoy a collective wildcatter mentality that fosters a business climate of success, open for anybody who's willing to jump in. We also offer a superior and world-class healthcare community, which keeps our economy strong. On today's episode, we welcome one such stellar practitioner, Dr. Anne Laurent, a dentist who has offered her artistic techniques and skill here in Lafayette since she graduated from the LSU Dental School in 1983. Anne, it's a real honor and a pleasure to welcome you to Discover Lafayette.
Well, thank you, Jan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we know each other, I think, through friends, and you have been my dentist for many years now. And I look at it as an opportunity to let others know about you, not only your background in dentistry, but how you live your life and some insights that you've gathered from living here in Lafayette. So we welcome you to the show. And can you tell us about growing up? I know that you grew up here in Lafayette. Is that correct?
I did. I've been here since 1963, I guess. Kindergarten.
Yeah, the good old days.
Good old days. And, did grade school here, public school system, and went to Acadiana High School and graduated in 1975.
Yeah.
So then went on to UL, which was USL back then.
Right, right. What made you think about dentistry? I mean, I've heard your story, but did you grow up wanting to be a dentist?
No, I actually grew up wanting to be a teacher, actually, but I started babysitting for a family, Dr. Craig Strait and his family, and he was inspirational. I liked what he did. I was always artistic. I liked working with my hands. I wanted to do something to help people. I knew I wanted to be nurturing in that way, and I guess one of the stories that was an inspiration, I had fallen, was in an accident when I was 9 and broke my front tooth, my incisor, about halfway down. And back then there was no solution for that problem.
Oh my gosh.
And so I spent my adolescent years and my high school years, a snaggletooth.
There was no fix?
No fix.
Oh, my gosh.
So other than crowning the tooth, which would have been the worst thing to do with the developing
growing front.
Tooth. Thank God they didn't do that. But so, Craig Strait, I was one of his first bonding cases when cosmetic resin bonding first came about, and he fixed that tooth. I was 19 years old at the time.
10 years went by.
Yeah, about 10 years with that snaggletooth.
So. And that really affects your self-esteem. I don't know how it affected you, but it was.
I mean, I would smile crooked. I would try to hide the tooth. I wouldn't smile. And when I got it fixed, there was just this, the curtain was able to open and I was able to smile in a way, let the inside reflect the outside, or let the outside reflect the inside, rather. And It really just changed my life on a lot of levels, and I thought, I would like to do this for other people,
right?
To have other people feel that way, if I could help other people. And so Craig got me a job in a dental lab, and I started, getting an idea of the field, and said, this is what I want to do.
So, while you were at USL,
while I was at USL,
so you went to LSU Dental School.
Went to LSU Dental School in New Orleans. Yeah,
it's a great school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you moved here, back home, in 1983.
I did.
Yeah, and I know you have a family. You've got children, and I don't know if you were married at that time, but I'd like to talk some about your early career, because for people listening that know Lafayette, 1983 was really the beginning. That's when I moved here also. that was the beginning of the decline of the oil and gas industry. So you were moving back home wanting to start a practice at the beginning of what was a very difficult time for us in this economic climate.
You're right. It was a really tough time. Yeah. And I wanted to go in with somebody else, obviously, as an associate, and not have to do my own thing. And but that nobody was
hiring.
Nobody could.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody could afford to do that. I just remember trying to even get a bank loan for a few thousand dollars to buy some furniture was next to impossible. Nobody was, and you know, part of it was the woman thing too. I had to have co-signed, and it was crazy. It was a crazy time.
That was a different time in lending.
Yeah,
that's a that could be a whole other podcast. I understand Yeah, and you were one of very few female dentists. We were talking about that before the show started. I know in your class you said there were maybe six females in the
Out of 90. Three or something. So
right.
Yeah, we were less than 10%.
So. Right. So you're kind of, not that that held you back, but I mean, it was a different climate back then.
It was a different climate.
Yeah. So you made it though. You started out with another dentist?
Dr. Sam Moss and I, you know, decided to go into practice together. I was his associate for about a year, and then we just decided to do separate solo practices, but collaborated with each other, shared overhead, and did continuing education and fed off of each other and really grew together and grew the practice together.
That's great. Yeah.
About 14 years. And then, you know, the climate was such that it was just time for us to do our separate thing. So I opened my own office building, you know, about 19 years ago.
Wow. In the same location, you're off of Collie Saloon on Marshall Drive.
Right. So I've been there for
South
19
Lafayette.
Years.
South Lafayette. Right. Yeah. One of the things that when I think of you, Anne, you know, as a patient, when I go in there, I feel like I'm at the spa. And that's, I didn't like the dentist growing up. I just have to be honest. I mean, that's why I'm in there quite a bit. I didn't really take care of things. I was scared to go to the dentist as a child. I didn't find anything pleasant about it. And because of that, that leads to issues that you have to take care of. And boy, going into your office, I love it. I mean, your staff is so professional, but it's relaxing. I mean, we get the paraffin wax for our hands and music and a Chanel blanket, you know, it's just,
thank you.
It's an experience.
But yes, there's an intentionality behind that because, I mean, studies show that a huge segment of the population does not seek regular dental care. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, time and money are lesser issues. The number one reason is fear.
That's what my issue was.
Right. And people have had such terrible experiences back in the day when dentistry was a little more archaic. Mm-hmm. And so we honor that and take that very seriously. It's like post-traumatic stress disorder.
You know,
that stays in your psyche forever. And so it's so hard for somebody to step out and trust. And so to be able to have somebody honor us with that kind of trust is just so rewarding. Mm-hmm. And so my whole staff has that same compassionate heart, and we try to, you know, integrate that into the service mix that we have, things that we can do to counterbalance the negatives and just stimulate the senses in a positive way. So we have fresh baked bread, you know, with the aroma and the, you know, like you said, the chenille throws the, and,
oh, it's wonderful. The nose,
you know, and the
for
headphones
those that are nervous.
To drown out the sound of the music. And and of course we do, do offer other sedation options
for
people that want to take it even more relaxing. But
right. Well, for people that may be listening that are fearful of the dentist, I can say that I went from not even wanting to think about the dentist to I go now every 3 to 4 months. As I look at it, if I'm getting facials, I can certainly take care of my teeth. And so coming in every 3 to 4 months for me has been a blessing. And you know, my parents both lost all of their teeth. And so I really look at this as it's a health issue as well as a, you know, we all want to look beautiful or look our best, but so many health conditions are tied to the conditions of your gums and teeth. And so while we're talking about how relaxing your practice is, I know that you do focus on not only comfort, but on the health of your, of each patient.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an art and a science. You know, it's the art and science of dentistry. It's both.
Right. And you spoke about what happened to you as a 9-year-old. I mean, I wanted to share that recently, it was about a year and a half ago, I took a rough tumble And it was in the dark, running with my husband back to the car. And I
remember.
I hit a sidewalk crack. I was in my tennis shoes and workout clothes, and I fell and didn't break my fall. And I really busted one of my front teeth, and I was devastated. And I called you. It was a Saturday night, and you were walking into a ball, and you took my phone call. And I trusted you implicitly. And you've obviously, the new techniques have improved so much, because I can't even imagine now that I had done that. It's like as if it didn't happen. But I knew that you could use your artistic talent to put it back together. So thank you for that.
Oh, I'm so glad to be able that we were able to do that.
I hope I wasn't a lone ranger. I guess that happens to others. But there's so much more to dentistry than just filling cavities and, you know, taking X-rays. So
exactly.
So yeah.
It makes it fun.
Yeah. So tell me, let's talk a little bit more about your practice before we move on to some personal things. I understand that you were celebrating, and you have a new addition to your practice.
I do. After 34 years, I've finally brought in a partner. Dr. Thomas Sammons is going to be transitioning in, mm-hmm. and allowing me to drop to a working less hours.
Congratulations.
So it's nice to be partnered with somebody again. And yeah,
that's great. That. What's it been like working? I mean, you've really been supporting your practice. You have quite a large staff. And what's it been like being a businesswoman? I think of you as, you know, a healthcare professional, but you're actually a businesswoman. What has it been like trying to grow your practice and raise a family, if you can talk some about that?
Well, for me, I mean, certainly there's been a challenge with that. Certainly the balance between raising a family. I've got two children and running a full-time practice mm-hmm. slash business. But it's just been a very rewarding process for me, too. I'd kind of rise to that challenge and, mm-hmm. and watching that growth. Lafayette's just been a very wonderful community to me. Lafayette's honored me and supported me so that I could become successful in mm-hmm. this arena, and that's a big blessing to me as well.
Right. You know, I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, I wouldn't be asking a male what was it like working and balancing family, but things really have changed. So as I'm looking at you, we come from the same, we're the same age, and we've kind of navigated that, the transition. But I didn't mean to be, you know, too gender sensitive about what is it like to raise a family and work. So please forgive me for that, because I probably wouldn't be asking a fellow the same question.
But it is a little different.
Yeah.
It is a little different. With women.
You've done it with grace and style.
Oh,
so.
Well, thank you. But I couldn't have done it without help. You know, we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the community, my family was not from here, is not from here any longer. They had moved away. And just the support of the other women, mm-hmm. other mothers especially, that helped me be able to take over some of the roles that I mm-hmm. wasn't able to be there. I did suffer from working mom's guilt a bit for a while and had to do some inner work with that, little conflict with that. But because of the support group that I had, it made it easy for me mm-hmm. to do that, because I knew my children were being nurtured and being taken care of by other people that
you trusted.
That I trusted.
Right.
Yeah.
You've also supported the arts in our community. You haven't just focused on family and your practice, but you've been active in supporting. I know you're a symphony supporter. And would you talk some about that, about civic engagement that you enjoy?
Well, you know, just I think the arts is such an important part of just our psyche as human individuals and as a culture and a community as a whole, mm-hmm. That we were... I believe we were all designed in the image of the Creator, which means that we were designed to create, and that's what brings us life, and that's what brings us fulfillment, and that's what brings us, you know, a sense of purpose, and just makes life a little more meaningful and mm-hmm. joyful. And so anything that sparks that, I'm all about, and that's one of the things I love about Lafayette, is that there is this impetus and this desire to stoke that kind of fire of creativity, within the schools and within the community, and So I'm all about supporting that.
Right, right. Yeah, we started Downtown Alive this evening, or it's beginning, and so family-friendly. So many of the things we have.
They were setting up as I was driving down.
Yeah, we were downtown here. I do want to put in a plug for William McFarlane, our producer here. We're at Acadiana Open Channel, AOC Community Media, and right in the heart of downtown. So we're about to start free festival series, Downtown Alive. So, and you also, I know, have gotten into photography, and I would like to ask you about contemplative photography. When I was reading up on you, I was really intrigued by that, and that part of your, you know, is it a hobby or is it
something?
Yeah,
it's a hobby, and, you know, and I'm a novice, and it's not something that I've embraced fully, but I'm looking forward to getting more into that now that I have a little more time. But yeah, it's through some of the retreat work, some of the spiritual retreat work I'd attended, that was a course offering that I had done. And I just love the concept of it, that we, and I particularly, have lived in a world where it was achieve and acquire and grab. And the same thing with taking images. A lot of times it's like you know ahead of time what you're wanting to take a picture of.
Right.
And so you go out and you grab it.
I want that tree.
Yeah,
I want that object.
And instead of acquiring that image. And contemplative photography is more about receiving the image, of just being still and just being present to your environment and to the present moment, and what is speaking to you at that moment. What are you seeing? What's shimmering? What are you receiving? What elicits some sort of visceral response? And then receive that image and take a picture of that image and then sit with it and see what comes up. And so either it could be something as just simple as naming it, a little creative title to it, or a little poem, or a little haiku, or something. It just starts taking off, just an organic flow into a whole other level of creativity too, just by that simple image.
Is it a form of meditation?
So I'd look at it as a form of meditation, yes, because it's centering. It's getting very centered, very present, very creates a sense for me of gratitude for my surroundings and gratitude of being alive and being part of this magnificent planet and universe that we're a part of, and the beauty, and even some of the ugliness, even some of the pain, there's a poignancy there that just makes us feel more human when we can tap into it. So often we numb ourselves with
busyness
and this helps you just get present with whatever it is that's there, the pain and the beauty,
right,
depending on what's happening with you at that moment.
So you've written poetry at times based upon the receiving that you've experienced.
Yeah.
I love that. I never understood the biblical passage when people would say, be still and listen to God, or be still and know that I am God. And it sounds like that's what you've come to understand.
It is, yeah. I love that passage. And then Father Richard Rohr takes it and you just start backing it out. You know, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still.
Be. Yeah, oh gosh. I get,
you know, and just it was such
that.
A huge paradigm shift for me to go from doing, because I spent my whole life doing, achieving, to learning to just be, you know, to just be me in that moment and not worry about what I'm doing or whether it's productive or not.
You were always enough.
Always enough. We all are always
enough. But knowing that, it's a different matter.
It's a hard place to get to sometimes for some of us.
So Father Richard Rohr, I'm familiar with his work. Is he an inspiration to you?
He has been a huge inspiration to me, yes.
He's written so many books. His last name is spelled Rohr for anyone curious. And I think he's based in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah. Franciscan priest in Albuquerque. Yeah.
I learned about him at the Jesuit Spirituality Center. I know you like to go there for retreats. And I'm assuming I might have been the last person in America that knew about him, but he certainly inspired my life also.
Yeah. Just, you know, it embraces that more mystical, contemplative branch of spirituality, you know, and the diversity, and that we're all created, you know, in the image, and we're all worthy, and that we're all everybody wins.
Has that affected your practice when you take your faith journey and deeper understanding of yourself? Does that play into your practice?
I think the spirituality informs my practice. Certainly that there's a sense of compassion and you know, openness and acceptance of everybody that comes in, no matter where they are and what they're bringing to the table, and looking at people with that benevolent gaze.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yes.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
I know that's how I feel when I come in. So what do you do? Do you have hobbies? What do you do to stay so fit? What do you like to do when you're free?
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to have a lot of hobbies.
Well, you look great, so you must be exercising.
But they're on my list, and I'm planning to do more of that now that I've got a little more space opening up for me. But,
cleaning out closets.
But yoga has been a huge thing for me, just, you know, and it was really out of necessity at first because I was having some problems with my neck and my back, and was in some therapy, and finally had somebody tell me, essentially prescribe to me, that I needed to counterbalance that constrictive bent over position that I was in all the time and do more stretching. And then the yoga also is a contemplative practice too, of centering, and a meditation in itself too, body meditation and deep breathing. And so it just became very therapeutic and very rewarding for me. And when I stay centered and stay consistent in that practice, I have no pain. I have no body pain anymore. So,
and you stay healthy also. I guess it helps you honor yourself, you know, to take better care of everything, the choices you make for food and rest.
Well, that's it too. And that, and part of that's a spirituality thing too, is that we just, you know, it's to honor.
What, it's a temple. It's to,
it, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you look great. So
thank you, Jan.
Trying to get in a plug for you there. So, yeah. Well, tell me about living in Lafayette, please. One of the things I wanted to hear your words on are being a longtime resident, active member of our community. What is it about Lafayette that you like, that makes you want to be here and kept you here all these years?
Oh gosh, there's so many things. I guess the number one thing is just the sense of community here, that there's, you know, that sense of a family and people wanting to help other people. There's a, you know, I know it sounds cliched, you know, that happiness quotient, that, but there is. I think there is a happiness quotient here. The people here seem genuinely, you know, content and happy about life, and wanting, and they're generous and wanting to share time and energy and resources. So it's nice to plug into that and be part of that. That current, if you will, in the community, and a desire, like we said earlier, for helping to diversify the arts in our community through, you know, through the artistic endeavors, cultural endeavors, and develop our culture. And the unique culture is, you know, just such a interesting thing to be a part of.
I know. You see other cities around the country, and they're trying to make a place like, define themselves, and really Lafayette and Acadiana has already defined itself with the Cajun culture, the Cajun Creole blend of culture.
And I love going to other places, and there's just such pride when I can just speak about the Francophile culture that we have here, and
that's authentic
French immersion, and and that we've kept that alive, that sense of identity alive.
So. Right. I know, and just getting to know the people here and their backgrounds. You know, we are resilient as a community, and I really believe it's the Acadian heritage. You know, they're survivors. And when hurricanes come through, or we have other issues such as the economic downturns, people dig in deeper. They work harder, they help their neighbor, and they love. And you can't create that. It's here.
Right.
And it's a great place to live. And you really represent one of the stellar members of our community. I'm just so proud to have you here. I want to thank you for coming in today. Our guest today has been Dr. Ann Laurent. I hope we've gotten in what you wanted to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Yeah, Ann is Ann is a wonderful dentist. For anybody that's looking for a place to go. This is not a paid ad. I'm just honored to welcome you to the show and let people know about you. But I just also wanted the opportunity for you to share the spiritual thoughts that you have behind who you are. So thank you.
Thank you, Jen,
for being on our show today. And I'd like to thank you for listening to Discover Lafayette. We have taped this today at the AOC Community Media with the assistance of William McFarlane. I'm Jan Swift. Thank you for joining us on Discover Lafayette.
The views and opinions expressed on this or any program on the AOC Podcast Network do not reflect the views and opinions of Lafayette Consolidated Government, Cox Communications, LUS Fiber, AOC Community Media, its board of directors, or its staff. To learn more about becoming a community media producer, visit us on the web at aocinc.org.